This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to hour two of Tiki and Tierney here this Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio, off of the network today. BT is on vacation already, Thanksgiving holiday down in Texas. Champions League is on the tube. It's a lot going on right now, including the Lakers. And we'll have a conversation with them. And in our next segment, we're going to chat also with Howard Beck. Howard Beck's going to come on, national NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, did a bunch of the NBA topics that are percolating in this early 20 game or so window, including the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns, who have just been on fire. 13 in a row they've won, and they're still in second place in the West because the Golden State Warriors have been so good. You know who's not even close to the top of the West, though, is the LA Lakers. They are ninth, currently ninth in the Western Conference. A lot of people's pick to rebound and have a great 2021 season with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and there's obviously some restructuring of the roster, 11 new players, but so far it has not been all good for the LA Lakers. And last night against the Knicks, it got worse. They were down they were double digit points down in this game. And I get that there are a lot of new faces on this Lakers squad, and Frank Vogel's got a significant task in front of him, but it's time for us to lower our expectation for the LA Lakers, especially if LeBron James, who's 37 years old now, especially if LeBron James is not going to consistently be available. Now, last night obviously had nothing to do with injury. It was serving his one-game suspension for his altercation against Isaiah Stewart of the Detroit Pistons from a couple nights prior, and he wasn't available at the Garden. And it was billed as this, this amazing West Coast, East Coast. There were resurgent Knicks and Julius Randle, who was comeback player of the year, versus the Lakers and all this iconic talent from LeBron and AD, the champions from two seasons ago. And the tickets were $500 a seat for the nosebleeds. And then all of a sudden, LeBron's not playing and nobody cared. It kind of played like that. The game played out like that. The only, I guess, really interesting personnel thing, occurrence in this game was Carmelo Anthony was returning hero for the Lakers from a Knicks standpoint. When he got checked in at the end of the first quarter, he got basically a standing ovation. It was kind of odd. I think that Knicks fans appreciate Carmelo, even though they were frustrated by him because of the lack of production, because he was elite, he was an all-time scorer, but the lack of team success when he was here. And but at the end of the day, they love and appreciate Carmelo because of how great he was. And BT always mentions this, but he's right. And I read an article, I think it was in the Post today, about how he chose them. Very few of the stars nowadays choose the New York Knicks. They always want to go elsewhere for whatever reasons, whether it's money or go play with their friends or go to marquee, even though New York is marquee, but they haven't been good. A marquee spot, like say the Lakers or the Heat, someplace that just, feels trendy. Carmelo chose the Knicks, and New Yorkers appreciate that. So you give them credit for what it is. But here's the issue with the Lakers right now. They are a flawed team that was not well constructed. They have both ends of the spectrum, from some old guys who some can still get it done, some young guys who kind of are figuring it out. They could be important pieces, like Austin Reeves, which we'll get to in a second. Alex Caruso was commenting on him. And then like a couple guys in the middle, like Russell Westbrook, whose torrent energy almost brought the Lakers back last night. He had 31 points, and 18 of them came in the third quarter. I mean, obviously it was too late, but, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook is interesting for this Lakers team because he can be that, you know, turn on a dime catalyst to help them try to win. But they're a sub 500 team, and it seems like every time they play, whether LeBron is playing or not, it becomes this, this marquee, like, matchup. Like, hey, you must watch the Lakers. Well, actually, when you watch the Lakers, it's not that entertaining. And they're not winning a lot. So why are we continuing to be attracted to the Lakers? Well, Alex Caruso, who formerly was of the Lakers, obviously won a championship with them and was a glue guy, so to speak, someone who would hustle, plays great defense, he had this like meme. There was a meme ability about him. You'd see this, you know, little white guy come flying out of nowhere and just smash back a dunk and, lock down defense. So he did an interview with Brian Kalbrowski of Hoops Hype. Now he's playing now for the Chicago Bulls, as we all know. And he was asked about the media bias towards the Lakers and especially how it's covered on social media. And he's right. This was his quote. He said, quote, I've seen a little bit, said Caruso. He's now talking about Austin Reeves, because Austin Reeves essentially replaced Alex Caruso as that trendy, you know, Laker highlightable, memeable star, right? And so he was asked about Austin Reeves, formerly of Oklahoma. He started at Wichita State. Then he transferred. He got hurt. And he sat out. He transferred, sat out a year. In his last 2 years at Oklahoma, he was actually really good, 18 or so points a game. But Alex Caruso was asked about Austin Reeves, and he said this, quote, I've seen a little bit about all the stuff on social media. It's apparent now. I didn't realize this when I was on the Lakers, but social media shows all of the Lakers' highlights. I didn't think that was true until I got to another team. And when I hear him say that, he's absolutely right. So me and my buddy, Mike Hoyman, he's my neighbor. He lives right up the street from me. Early two seasons ago, we're sitting in his basement. He's got this nice pad set up, nice setup in his basement, big bar, big couch, and a big TV that swivels. I mean, it's just cool. Like, we're just hanging out there. We're watching a Lakers game, and the Lakers come on. We're not really even paying attention. And Alex Caruso has this, like, great putback and this amazing, you know, couple of round, like, 3 or 4 minutes in the game. We're like, dude, who is that kid? I mean, I'm not even kid. I think we called him an old man. We're like, who the hell is that old man, right? It's this running around there and jumping out of the building. And obviously it was Alex Caruso, and he's not an old man. He was like 27, 26 years old. But his hair, like, he had that horrible hair in the head. He was just his male pattern baldness with the comb over. And it's like, dude, who is this dude? But he gained our attention because of his play. And, you know, it just snapped in our minds, and it was like, oh, dude, that's our guy, man. That's a dude, because, you know, I'm middle-aged. I'm losing my hair. He's going that way as well. And so it's like, we love Alex Caruso. And every single, like, week, I'd get two or three memes from Mike just sending me Alex Caruso things. Like, dude, did you see this? Man, did you see Alex Caruso do this? And it was all social media. It was all highlights that were the Lakers, and whether or not the Lakers won or not, it didn't matter. It was just Alex Caruso and these memeable moments, and it created this cult hero nature about him. And look, I'm sure there are players on other teams that have the same type of, maybe even more, athleticism and import to their team that you know, the fan base just gravitates to and they love them. But nationally, there's nobody does that like the Lakers. And so when Alex Caruso sees this, sees what's happening with Austin Reeves, he now realizes, yeah, I mean, I was a product of the system, which is not a media bias, because I can't really say it's a bias. I don't think it's that. I think it's just an affinity that social media has for the Lakers. It's almost like you're expecting great things out of them because of their history, and even if they're not historically good, then you're still attracted to them because of their history. And so you find anything that you can grab onto that makes you say, hey, look at the Lakers. For a lot of the last couple of years, that, hey, look at the Lakers, has been LeBron James. Right? He wins an NBA title with them, and the years that he hasn't, it's been because there's an excuse, because he's hurt, right? He had the groin 3 seasons ago, and then they won the year after that, and then the following year he was banged up, and they barely made it into the postseason. This year he's banged up again, so we're not expecting them necessarily to win a championship, but we can't like take our eyes off the Lakers, and you know it's why, in a sense, this game last night with the Knicks just felt so much like a dud, because we have all of this expectation and this hype train that follows the LA Lakers, you know, week year in and year out, regardless of what the circumstances are, the situation is, you know, before LeBron, it was, you know, the end of Kobe's career type of thing. Like it's always something with the Lakers that's infatuating to social media. And Alex Caruso basically hit the nail, you know, square on the head with the hammer, man. It just, he nails it. And he was part of it. He didn't even realize it. And I think Austin Reeves is going to be that same type of, he's going to be in that same situation. I'm not a Lakers fan, but for whatever reason, if the Lakers are on, I tend to watch. But if the Pistons were on, or I don't know, say another, even the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, even a team like the Phoenix Suns are on, and unless it's the postseason, I'm not likely going to like sit down, stop, and watch it. The Lakers, for whatever reason, I don't know why, and maybe it's because it's being drilled subconsciously into our head, I tend to kind of want to watch them, and I think that's a good thing from a Lakers standpoint, and credit belongs to their social media folks. I mean, am I wrong? I feel that way. I think we have, because Samter, you're able to talk, right? Samter can talk to us. Oh, Samter can talk to us.
What's going on?
All's good, brother. Do you feel that too?
I do. I think right now we watch star power, right? So the Lakers are interesting because of Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron.
But it's not it's not all star power, though. That's my point, right? Because what we get infatuated, Alex Caruso was like, he became a cult star, but he's not a star, yes, right? And the same thing is happening, it seems like, with Austin Reeves. Like I started watching the Laker game not because of LeBron. I mean, it was cool because of LeBron, but because I wanted to see Alex Caruso. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
No, you're 100% right. And I think about Linsanity. Would Linsanity have happened anywhere else except for Madison Square Garden or one of those types of markets? So you're 100% right that whether it's New York or Los Angeles, especially the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, there's a different vibe around those teams. But I also think that LeBron just carries a cachet that, whether it was Kobe or maybe another Lakers star, may not have made an Alex Caruso into a cult hero or a Reeves into a cult hero.
Yeah.
If LeBron, like LeBron, just, we think about even the Cavaliers and the Heat and some of the guys on the, you know, Eric Snow, like everyone remembers Eric Snow on the Cavaliers.
That's a good point. No, the early Cavaliers, it. The early Cavaliers.
Yeah, and even Delonte West before all this stuff happened with him. I feel like with LeBron, we kind of remember some of these Tristan Thompson, some of these guys who kind of burst onto the scene that became LeBron's sidekicks or LeBron's kind of, you know, little helper men or whatever you want to call them. But I think there's a combination. I think it's the perfect storm when you have LeBron in L.A.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because it's one of the media capitals. Not of, you know, New York is obviously the media capital of the U.S., but it's still one of the media capitals, right?
100%.
Right? And so you just can't help but look at it. I mean, Stu, do you feel the same way about the Lakers? I mean, I don't know how big of a basketball fan, but do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I am. And as a Lakers fan, like, I see it, because even after Kobe retired and they had some of these down years where they had guys like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball,
yeah,
they were still – it was a similar thing where they were still getting talked about a lot. They're still on national TV, I think, the max amount of times a team can be on. So I think it is, you know, a product of the Lakers, you know, they do get a lot of attention social media and media wise for sure.
Yeah, and you know, the problem because this is not a problem. I'm not going to say it's a problem, but the issue is that for a lot of these years it's cuz the Lakers were also good, right? This year and last year to an extent, they're not very good. And so some of the criticism that gets leveled their way is almost a negative byproduct of the attention they're drawing on to themselves. And I guess that's okay, because it falls into that cliche. There's no such thing as bad news. All news is good news. At least in the social media world, all news is attention type of thing. So the Lakers, it almost doesn't matter that they're 9-10 and below 500 and ninth. Currently ninth in the Western Conference, team that some people expect to win a championship, they're getting the memeable moments, and it doesn't really matter whether it's Alex Caruso or Austin Reeves. They're in your consciousness, and you're talking about them. So win or lose, they're still on the tip of your tongue. All right, the NBA.
Take one quick question before we go to Howard here. Just a very quick question. All right, we've been talking about Westbrook's struggles and LeBron being hurt and suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Does Anthony Davis kind of get a pass? Like, he never won in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He's now kind of being counted on as being the guy in L.A.
No.
And LeBron is out. But whenever LeBron goes down, Anthony Davis does not do anything. Like, why are we giving him a pass if he's an elite star?
I don't think it's a pass. I think we just kind of know who he is. Anthony Davis is a unreliable makes it sound like he's not good, because that's not the case. But you just never know when he's going to get hurt. He's an elite player, but he's not a team carrier. Right? And there's certain things. I mean, this was the debate with Julius Randle last year, and BT didn't want to hear it because, you know, it's his Knicks. But this was the debate with Julius Randle. He was having an unbelievable individual season, but if he had to carry a team by himself, he couldn't do it. Right, he couldn't create for those that weren't elite. And so it was like him and everybody else. I think Anthony Davis, if he's healthy, he's a similar type player. Like he's better, obviously, but individually he can rack up the stats and put up, you know, however many 30 something points and 10 rebounds and whatever you want to attribute to a great game. But he's not going to carry your team. Like, he's not going to create. And I think we just kind of accept that. For Anthony Davis. And I don't know why, because you're right. Some people want to put him in the top 10 of like the current NBA players, but I don't know if he's in that conversation really. So he does get a pass, because I don't think most people expect him to be like the LeBrons or the KDs or the Steph Currys or Dame Lillards or even a Luka. Like they don't expect him to be that player. He kind of needs the Batman, so to speak. It is interesting though, because he gets positioned as this elite player, and I don't know if he is consistently enough that. All right, NBA season's off and running. Who are the true challengers, and who's just kind of off to a hot start? The Suns, they're smoking. The Warriors, they're even smoking hotter. Sports Illustrated's Howard Beck joins us next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber, BT's off for the holiday already, taking you home for the next hour and a half or so. And joined now via phone by Sports Illustrated's NBA writer, Howard Beck. Howard, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Doing all right, Tiki. How are you?
I am fantastic, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope all is well with you and family, and you have a great weekend. I guess midweekend and weekend lined up. As we know, it gets a little crazy around here. I was just reading this article that you wrote about the NBA and their decision, or lack of any decision as of yet, with Robert Sarver. Now, the Suns, you know, early on in the year, they started, 1-3, I believe, and they were just, it looked like the season was going to be a distraction. Now they've ripped off 13 in a row, and so clearly they've put in all that behind them. But this is a test, and this is what your article is talking about. This is a test for the NBA. How is this going to play out, do you think?
Well, it's really hard to say at this stage. We're only a couple weeks removed from the ESPN investigative piece in which they interviewed 70-plus current and former employees and revealing a number of incidents of and allegations of racism, misogyny, and other workplace issues with the Suns. You know, at the moment that it comes out, it's obviously, you know, there's a lot of reverberation. The league has to come to grips with it, though. They knew it was coming. Players, everybody. But unlike the Donald Sterling case 7 years ago, where there was a tape that then was being played over and over again that we could all listen to, and so there was a frenzy at the time that made it feel urgent.
Yeah.
We got to, you know, this needs to be resolved. This is different in that it's, you know, like a lot of investigative journalism, the ESPN report was reliant on a lot of anonymous, not all, but mostly anonymous sources. And so the NBA is doing what it has to do in terms of due diligence, right? With the in lieu of a smoking gun, smoking tape in the case of Sterling, they have a law firm that's now doing the investigation. That could take weeks or months. I don't think it'll be more than months. I don't think this is years, but I would think sometime during this present NBA season, that law firm will complete its report, having interviewed everybody that they need to. The NBA will then, you know, accept that report. And based on their past actions with reports of this nature, I would think that will become public. The details of that report will become public. And then we will know. And if even 80% of what the ESPN story revealed is verified by the law firm, I don't see how Robert Sarver can stay as majority owner of the Phoenix Suns. Given the things that he is alleged to have said and done.
Interesting. So you're positioning this closer, and it's a sliding scale, and it's an imperfect one. It's all jagged and all over the place. But you're sliding this one closer to Donald Sterling as opposed to what Mark Cuban went through, whenever that was, 2 or 3 years ago.
The Mark Cuban case was interesting in that it was not so much about what Mark Cuban himself had done. It was more the absence of what he had done. It was hey, here's all this sexual harassment that's been going on in your organization that you have somehow been blind to, that you have somehow been unaware of and not done anything to rectify. That's different than Robert Sarver, you know, chapter and verse again in the ESPN story about him using the N-word repeatedly, cavalierly, treating women and people of color and employees in general in a manner that is highly inappropriate, to say the least. And so it's not analogous. I mean, it is certainly closer to the Donald Sterling case in that it is about a majority owner of a team saying racist things, right? Like I say, the Dallas Mavericks, this is not to by any means diminish what happened there. And I thought Mark Cuban got off easy, frankly, with a $10 million fine.
Agreed.
But it wasn't about Mark Cuban's own actions.
Yeah,
and
I hear
this So this is different. I don't see how the NBA can allow him to stay. And I also think that the players have withheld judgment, right? Like, you know, Chris Paul, who's already lived through this before with the Clippers, you know, the players on the Suns have withheld judgment on this for the time being, as has the Players Association, as have sponsors. But once there's the imprimatur of an NBA investigation on this, when that comes out, I think it will take on a different level of gravity, and it will be impossible for anybody to ignore, and I think people will react much more strongly once that day comes.
And then it will ultimately be on the other owners themselves, correct? That's how it will work. They'll have to vote to make
Adam
this happen.
Silver doesn't, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Adam Silver's commissioner does not have unilateral power to do anything to eject an owner. He needs the backing of the majority of the other owners. But even then, it's not as simple as just take a vote and he's out. I mean, you know, this is, he owns whatever percentage of the team, and it's, he's got, you know, partners with the Suns. I don't know exactly the procedure that would take place at that stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to require much more than just the league office being, wanting to move in that direction. And, you know, look, maybe Sarver decides to step down on his own. Maybe when the results of that investigation become clear, maybe he decides to make this simple and step down. Because if he doesn't, and if this report reflects the things that we've already read and backs them up, and he stays and he digs in, the backlash for them, not just from media and fans, but from sponsors, the business community, everybody else, could be pretty severe. And I think that will make it very...
Yeah, no, it does. It sounds like that's what's going to happen. I just wanted an update on that because we haven't really heard much in the last couple of weeks with what was going forward. We're talking to Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. Another thing we haven't heard a lot about is the next steps or the issues or lack thereof with Zion Williamson getting back on the court for the New Orleans Pelicans. The last we heard, it was his family talking out against the situation, and he had, I don't want to fat shame him in any way, but like he had just gotten big, and he's got lower extremity issues, so obviously he can't work out. When is Zion going to get on the court, and are we going to see him at all this year?
Well, he has been cleared to practice within the last few weeks, and coming back from foot surgery, and as you allude to, foot surgery at his size, and with his history of injuries to knees and feet, I mean, you got to be careful. You got to be conservative there. So I don't have an update about when we expect to see him on the court. It seems like that date's getting closer. I'd be shocked if we didn't see him in the next couple of weeks, but you don't want to mess around with obviously a player of his importance with an injury of that nature, and he does have a history there, and I think that's the difficult thing here for the Pelicans and for Zion and frankly for his family. Like, his early career has been riddled with injuries, and he plays a certain way. He's obviously not just incredibly explosive, but he's explosive and at that size, which the toll that takes on your body and on your joints, on your muscles, on everything, is considerable. And so I think they should be erring on the side of caution at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, the expectation isn't that they're a player away or this player away from winning a championship. So there's time, and he's still actually a really young kid. So we shouldn't get too, caught up in it. The Ben Simmons situation, however, is one we probably should get caught up in. He's been around for a couple of years now, but this thing doesn't seem to be coming to an end anytime soon. And it looks like the Sixers are digging in, like really digging in and starting to find him and maybe deciding not to. Like, this Ben Simmons situation has to end. Otherwise, the 76ers feel like they're just going to be stuck in this purgatory, right?
To an extent. I mean, I think their early season difficulties right now have been more about everybody else, right? They've had, a bunch of positive COVID tests, or at least guys who were in health and safety protocols because of COVID, whether or not they actually had COVID or whether they just had been in quarantine for other reasons is unclear. But they've had their entire starting lineup out recently for a combination of COVID and injury issues. So, but before that, they were playing pretty well. They have actually been a really solid team, even without Ben Simmons. And yes, he's an all-star and at his best all-NBA caliber player, but Joel Embiid is an MVP caliber player, and you've got enough talent around him that, and with the emergence of Tyrese Maxey having a really good kind of breakout season, filling in for Ben Simmons, like, they're fine. I mean, the part of it where the urgency comes in is that Joel Embiid has his own injury history. Joel Embiid is at age 27 is right in his prime. You don't want to waste a single year of an MVP caliber player's prime. You should be, you know, doing everything possible to contend for championships. That's your responsibility year in, year out, and you don't know how big a window you might have. Having Ben Simmons or whatever Ben Simmons becomes in a trade is really important because you want to maximize every season. You don't want to just throw this season away. But when Daryl Morey went on radio a few weeks back and said, we're prepared to take this to the extreme, like even if it means burning the 3-4 years left on Ben Simmons' contract, there's a certain amount of bluster and poker to that, but it's also kind of a clear signal that Daryl Morey is not making a deal just because Ben Simmons has made them feel uncomfortable. Like, we're going to be the message is we're going to be fine and we're okay in the near term. And they are. Like, when they're healthy, they're still, a likely top four team in the East, I think.
Yeah. No, and, I think you're right.
You know, but you do need to make a deal, obviously, eventually to resolve this. They're just not going to make a bad deal. And I will just say this, Tiki, like, December 15th is coming. That's the date at which all the guys who were signed in the offseason become eligible to be traded. Mm-hmm. Also, by that time, every team will have played, closer to more like 25 games. That's when teams finally come to grips with, oh no, we thought we were going to be good this year. Actually, we kind of blow. Or we thought we'd be a little bit better. Or, desperation set in. That's when teams are more willing to make deals. No one's making blockbuster deals usually in the first month of the season. You got to wait and kind of like come to reality first about where you really are as a team. So we'll see something happen, I would expect.
Yeah.
Before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Last one before I let you go here. Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. The Golden State Warriors are just, they're ridiculous, man. Klay is already, he's the MVP right now if the season ended, but obviously there's still a long way to go. But Klay Thompson's not even back yet. How much better are they going to be? Or is it going to be disruptive, you think, to some of the, I guess, flow, the chemistry that they've developed with some of these young kids?
No, I don't think it'll be disruptive at all. I mean, they also have to work James Wiseman back in when he gets healthy, mm-hmm. which should also
Good
be
point.
Fairly soon. I mean, it's really rather incredible, Tiki, when you think about how great they've been without, a future Hall of Famer in Klay Thompson and a really good young player in James Wiseman. You're going to be this good and then get two high-level rotation, not just that, maybe two starters, Klay for sure, Wiseman possibly, back. Look out. I mean, with where the Warriors are right now is just incredible. And I think that, guys like Jordan Poole got a chance to really play in a bigger role and get the confidence and the responsibility that came with that. And when Klay comes back, okay, Jordan Poole moves to the bench. Guess what? He'll be a phenomenal sixth man. He's still young in his career. This is not a mid-career veteran or somebody who's trying to like earn a contract in the moment and needs that. Like, I don't think there's going to be any discomfort there. I think Jordan Poole has always kind of understood that, this is the role for now until Klay is back. And, this is a team that has, won championships and been to 5 straight finals with Steph, Klay, Draymond, and now Andre Iguodala is back. When you have those four back together, I mean, I don't have any chemistry concerns about a team that has that kind of history together already.
Great point.
It's just a matter of the young players kind of, finding a different kind of niche once Klay is back. But
yeah.
No, I think they're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, no, you make a very good point. I mean, Steve Kerr might be coach of the year as well, simply because of how he's gotten these young kids playing, young players, I won't call them kids, playing at an elite level alongside Steph. Howard, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Appreciate you hopping on for a couple minutes today.
You as well, Tiki. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Talk to you soon. Howard Beck, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. All right, James Franklin. He was headed to USC, and then he was headed toward LSU, but now he just kind of got broke off a little bit. We're going to talk about what's going on in Happy Valley and inbounds and out of bounds next, but first, let's get an update from Rich Ackerman. Rich, take it away, buddy. Tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, feed your football appetite on Thanksgiving Day with the NFL on CBS, featuring a fantastic matchup in Dallas between the Raiders and the Cowboys. Then on Sunday, an NFL slate full of important playoff implications, including Titans, Patriots, and an AFC North showdown with the Steelers and the Bengals. A big Thanksgiving week and weekend is coming your way only on the NFL on CBS. Definitely check out those games, important ones, including the Bengals, who are trying to get right against the Steelers, who also are trying to get right. The biggest one, though, for me, I think, is the Patriots continuing their dominance. I won't call it real dominance, but defensively, they have been really dominant over the last couple of weeks. New England has been giving up one offensive touchdown in the last three games. They've actually scored more defensive touchdowns. New England's defense has scored more touchdowns than they've given up offensively over the last 3 weeks. They have been amazing. So catch that out. Check that out on CBS this weekend, starting tomorrow, actually. All right, Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. Samter, are you going to help me do inbounds and the out of bounds?
I certainly will, sir.
I appreciate you. Stu, let's get it rolling.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, after Sunday's dramatic 34-31 loss to the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers explained that his toe injury is worse than normal turf toe. Yesterday, in an interview with his buddies Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk, Rodgers doubled down on the severity of his injury.
The problem with turf toe is that, you know, it's that joint in your big toe, and it is very painful. So naturally, I'm leading people to understand that if it's worse than turf toe, there must be some sort of bone issue.
So this is pinky toe, ring toe?
Look, Pat, I've already talked enough about on the show about my medical status and other ways. I've given you enough information at this point. I have a injury that's not going away, and I'm going to be dealing with it for at least the next few weeks.
So he's going to be dealing with the next few weeks, and this led to some interesting things happening today at the press conference with reporters. Aaron Rodgers actually took off his shoe and showed his foot to the camera, which has become the newest internet meme. He said it is not the reported COVID toe from his illness, but it is likely just a broken toe. So in or out, you do believe this toe injury will be a major factor in Rodgers and the Packers' pursuit of a Super Bowl?
Out of bounds. Pinky toe. You talk about your pinky toe? Haven't you seen Harlem Nights? Have you seen Harlem Nights, Samter?
Please long tell me. Long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, Stu,
I mean,
have
long
you seen
time ago.
Have you seen Harlem Nights?
I don't believe I have.
Oh, God. You got this. Is Eddie Murphy. It's Red Fox. I mean, it's all the black comedians from back in the day. It's unbelievable story, movie. And in the movie, Eddie Murphy is pissed off at somebody. I forget the actress. Forget her name. But she's like the boss of the girls in the establishment that they're in, and they're fighting. And he's like, "If you better watch out, I'm gonna shoot off your pinky toe." She's like, and she keeps coming at him, so he shoots her pinky toe. It's like, it's just a pinky toe. No, I'm not worried about this. Out of bounds. I don't think this is going to be a major factor for the Aaron Rodgers. He threw for 372 yards last week. Yes, he got off to a slow start, and it hurts like hell. But even though you are a quarterback, you're still a football player. Out of bounds. This is not going to affect him. He's going to suck it up and play great football because that's what Aaron Rodgers does.
Are you in or are you out?
If you haven't seen the meme of Rodgers' toe, I beg you to go check it out. It's ridiculous. After the USC-LSU jobs opened up earlier this season, the first name that popped up was Penn State's James Franklin. However, Franklin's name has cooled off a bit of late, and now it's ice cold as the school gave Franklin a monster 10-year deal that will pay him $7.5 million a year and includes a diminishing buyout that starts at $12 million until about April of next year. So if anybody wants him this offseason, they're going to have to pay a hefty fee. So you do believe it was a mistake for Penn State to give Franklin this deal?
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think, you know, Penn State has come a long way back, and James Franklin has been okay for this team. I love him. I'm not a Penn State grad, so I don't honestly care about the inner machinations of his tenure there. But he has made this team relevant. And they've been in the conversation for a couple of years now, just outside the college football playoff, but at least they've been in it. There's some teams that just aren't even close to competing for it. They have been. And so I'm going to say inbound. I do not believe this is a mistake. So out of bounds. This was the right thing for them to do. And if he does decide to leave, because I know that there is a lot of interest in him nationally, it protects Penn State with the buyout on the backside. So I'm going to say, no, it's not a mistake. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Tampa Bay Rays 20-year-old prodigy Wander Franco played just 70 games last year after getting called up. And yesterday, baseball's top prospect inked a monster 12-year deal worth as much as $225 million, shattering Ronald Acuna's record for the richest deal ever for a player with less than a year of service. Now, while some players like Acuna and Franco have opted for these early, less-than-market value deals, others like Juan Soto are playing the long game. According to Spotrac, they value Soto's future contract in the range of 15 years and $500 million if he actually plays his cards right. So in or out, you would recommend young stars sign these early deals that might be under market value rather than hold out for these super mega monster long-term deals like Soto was doing?
You know, I would say inbounds of this. I think because what happens, you know, with the Juan Sotos of the world, who looks like he's going to fulfill this this strategy and get paid, despite having to wait till what, he's 27 or so, or maybe a little bit older than that. I think getting the money early gives you the ability. It gives you the present value of that money, meaning you're holding it and earning whatever you're earning on it, whether that's interest or whether that's a, you know, hot investment or whatever it may be. Whereas if you wait, the team is holding that money while you're not accruing any interest in real time. You also face the issue of being Aaron Judge, right? And Aaron Judge is the prime example of if he could have gotten a deal early, he should have taken it. Now, he couldn't have because the Yankees just don't want to pay him. They know that they eventually are going to have to, but it's going to be when he's 31 years old and he's likely only going to get a 5 or 6 year deal as opposed to a, you know, 10 to 12 year deal. So I'm going to say inbounds. I would recommend simply because of the economics, the present value economics of this.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, essentially, you control the future value of the money as opposed to the team controlling the future value of that money, which, you know, obviously diminishes relative to what you're getting now. It's interesting because I remember when we saw this, it was Acuna, I believe, who was maybe it was someone else before Acuna, but I think it was Acuna, the first one we remember talking about. Like, man, they signed him already to a long-term extension, and it just provides so much, I think, not clarity, but it gives you, like, support, financial support or security for your family, especially for some of these young kids who are coming from really poor socioeconomic situations, and a lot of them international, impoverished socioeconomic situations. So it just provides some stability and lets them focus on being the best baseball player as opposed to, man, I just got to stay healthy. I got to make sure I get right. Like it just takes a little bit of pressure off of their development in those early years. All right, we get three very interesting games tomorrow on Thanksgiving, but are all of them must wins for the teams involved? We'll talk about that next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade?
will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.